Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
It is a very special day in the neighborhood, boys and girls. It is episode 200.
Burr, 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 burr.
Yes, we don't have any budget for the actual air horn effects, but luckily we have Javier. Yes, 200 episodes ago, Javier and I started this little journey and started with a guy named Eddie Guerrero. So this week, we're going to also look at three of the matches we looked at. We try not to redo matches on this podcast, but specifically today, we're doing three of the five matches we covered when we first covered Eddie Guerrero, plus a Q&A with questions submitted by listeners and our friends and other fellow podcasters that we know. So very excited to dive into all the questions as well.
Yes, I'm super excited. 200 episodes is insane. How the heck did we get here so quick, but also so long?
I've had four apartments in the time that we've had these episodes. Like, I've moved a variety of times. You've had
same,
three, I think?
No, same, because when we, the first episode, I was in my college apartment. Then I moved back home after the pandemic. Then I moved on my own, and then I moved in with my girlfriend. So yeah, four as well.
A lot has changed. You know, the listener number has grown, and we appreciate it. We were really lucky that we got, like, a lot of... We had listeners off the hop, which is wonderful. And, like, shout out to Full Press Wrestling, who kind of gave us that platform. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But the fact that people are here, they're listening, they're discovering the podcast. We see the numbers every day as people go back and listen to old episodes. Because here's the thing. You can listen to episode one through episode right now. They all hold up. They're all still there. You can still listen to them.
All of them. So, you know, the more recent ones are probably better because we've gotten better at this as we've gone on, but
we also
are still there.
The chemistry is real. The chemistry is here. And we it's just
I should hope
growing.
So.
I mean, we've been doing this for 200 fucking weeks. I should hope so by now. So, on this episode, we are going to cover three matches we've already talked about. So we're not going to go in as much detail probably as we normally do, but that's just part of the deal. We've covered these matches before. If you want, you can go back and listen to Eddie Guerrero episode one, see what has changed in our opinion of these matches. But the reason that we're covering Eddie Guerrero is why? Why are we covering Eddie?
Well, Eddie's my favorite wrestler ever.
He is in my top three.
He's the reason why we do this. Like, I'm not at all a wrestling fan still today if it's not for Eddie Guerrero hooking me in the first place. Like, he is just the best. Like, I genuinely consider him one of the five greatest talents to ever grace a wrestling ring. I think that he's just the perfect person to do because he's a guy who you could take a look at any era of his from beginning to end, and it's an incredible match. It's an incredible charismatic performance, and whether he's a heel or a babyface, the guy is at 100 no matter what.
All the time. We chose Eddie Guerrero as our first episode because we both had a mutual love of Eddie Guerrero. Like, that was like the thought process was, we love Eddie, let's do him. In order, how many of our first episodes can you name? If you had to name them in order.
In order. Second was Dusty. Third was it Macho Man?
It was Macho Man.
Fourth, I think, is where I get lost.
Fourth is interesting.
Is DDP?
No, five is DDP. Four is Ron Simmons, Farouk. Covered Farouk early. And then it was Trish Stratus, Dustin
Trish,
Rhodes.
Yeah.
Batista, and then the first ever three-parter that you came up with for The Undertaker.
My baby.
Your baby. Your big undead baby. All right. We're going to have a lot to cover. Also, you may have seen, the podcast got a rebrand. We got refreshed. It's been 200 episodes. We changed up the logo, the branding. You would have seen, if you're watching on YouTube, our little intro video now at the start of the YouTube clips. You see the new red, yellow, and green logo everywhere. It's great.
It's excellent. My girlfriend asked me why does it look like that? Why is it like those colors? And honestly, Evan like showed it to me one day. I was like, like those colors.
Yeah, we're trying to go for like a little bit more of a retro feel, and like those colors have some like old school vibe to them. I don't know, those specific shades.
It screams 70s to me.
And who are we if not big fans of the 70s? Just kidding. That was a weird time for wrestling. We just wanted to, you know, do a little refresh. You'll see some new things. We also, if you're watching on YouTube, new background. on the YouTube. That's very cool. As well, some new series. We dropped the first ever Crossbody Corrections on YouTube, where we go back and fix historical mistakes from wrestling. I will admit, Javier cooked me in the first one.
Thank you. I knew it right away. Right away, yeah. I knew it. But look, I'm happy that you came around.
Go and listen and see how badly Javier cooked me as we rebooked the 2015 Royal Rumble. Javier made some tweaks around the edges to make it all better. I blew it up. So go and listen to me blow it up.
We went two different tanking routes.
Two very different tanking routes. I sold the farm. All right. The first match we're covering for Eddie Guerrero is from AAA, When Worlds Collide 1994. It is Eddie Guerrero and Love Machine Art Barr versus El Hijo del Santo and Octagon.
Just what a collection of talent this is. We have two like polar opposite lucha guys in Octagon and Hijo del Santo. And then you've got Eddie and Art Barr just being the most hated men in the entire arena.
Los Gringos Locos. So Guerrero turned on El Hijo del Santo, allied with Art Barr, and they called themselves La Pareja del Terror, the Pair of Terror. What a name. Ooh. What a name. And then they joined forces with Conan, Chicano Power, and Madonna's Boyfriend. That was his name.
Oh, I was like, legit? Or
no, do you know who Madonna's Boyfriend is?
Like, now?
Not like real Madonna's real boyfriend. Like the wrestler who was going by Madonna's Boyfriend was Louis Spicoli. Yeah, I had no idea. And if I learned this fact in episode one and don't remember, that's fine. That was 4 years ago.
What the fuck? That's so random.
I think the interesting thing about this match is the fact that it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. It's also mask versus hair, which is big.
Yeah.
But the way the 2 out of 3 falls work is interesting. In order for a fall to count, both members of a team must be pinned or submit. And once one member of the team pins or submits, they must stand on the outside and watch as it's a handicap match for that fall.
Yeah. And it's honestly kind of a great idea. I wish
it's
we
kind of really good, right?
I like it a lot, actually.
Like, it's a simple idea. And if you could pick two tag teams to do this right now, who is it going to be?
Right now. Whatever. What's the tag title program? It's like Judgment Day against like the DIY. Yeah, give me that.
Yeah. Honestly, I would want this with the Creeds in it. I feel like the Creeds would do something.
Julius Creed being the last man alive, just taking off his straps on his singlet and just going stupid. Hell yeah.
Also, happy Royal Rumble Day to everyone, because this episode drops on the Royal Rumble Day. Let's put our predictions out there so that we can be wrong. We both still think it's CM Punk winning the Rumble.
Yeah, I still think it's Punk.
I still think it's Punk, too. Women's Rumble, you previously went with Bayley. You standing by that?
I still think it's Bayley, yeah.
I'm still holding out hope that it's Liv Morgan on a return. My long shot in the dark is Jade Cargill.
Your long shot of all long shots is Liv Morgan.
I just want her to be happy. All right. Tell me something about this match that you like, aside from the fact that Eddie's in it.
Art Barr was like the best part of this match to me.
Art Barr fucking rules.
Like, it sucks that we lost him so soon, because, man, this guy had a freaking future. The way he's able to get heat is absolutely insane. Like, Eddie saves Barr pretty early on because he's just getting his ass kicked. Yeah. He also just like kind of low key looks like Logan Paul. I couldn't get that out of my mind after I noticed it.
It's the body shape, too. They're built
the
same
face.
Way.
They even have the same weird nose and like.
But they're sharp built the same face. Way. Like when Barr hits a frog splash, which is where Eddie gets the frog splash from. When Barr hits a frog splash, it looks like Logan Paul.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not a diss to Barr.
Admittedly, it's kind of hard to look different on a frog splash unless you're Rob Van Dam and can just do weird flexible things with your body.
Or Kevin Owens, my favorite frog splash.
Yeah, well.
love
big
Kevin.
Boy,
there's something I want to talk about early on. Has nothing to do with the match. Eddie knocks over Octagon at one point, and Mike Tenay is on commentary, I believe.
Oh,
I think that's him. I think that's his voice.
Anyway, I was not paying attention to it.
He says that Eddie Pearl Harbor's Octagon. Now,
I'm sorry?
I don't think that's proportional at all, as a thing to say in wrestling. Just Tanae's like, oh yeah, Eddie, he Pearl Harbor's Octagon. I'm like, what does that, like, I understand that, like, are you trying to say he surprised him? Because you could just say surprised. You could just say surprised.
That just, like, awoke something in the back of my mind. I saw this, like, meme on Twitter the other day where it was like, what flat earther stink Pearl Harbor, how Pearl Harbor went down. And it was like a line from Japan going all the way, like, around to get to Hawaii instead of going through the Pacific, because they can't go through the Pacific. The world's flat.
Because that's where the ice wall is. You can't get there. You'll fall off.
You'll fall off the world.
I love that flat earthers saw a snow globe one day and they were like, that. The world's that. And it's like, no, it's not.
You see, the Titanic didn't actually sink, bro. It just reached the end.
Quick, get in this submarine. I've got a little Xbox controller. We'll go see it for real. Oh my god. All right, so the first fall that happens here goes to Los Gringos Locos.
Yes, Eddie hits a superplex. Bar comes off the other corner with a frog splash. 1, 2, 3. Santos gets pinned.
And then Bar hits frog splash. They pin Octagon. The first fall is over. They take a little break. I also like that. There's like, take a little break. They had corner men, essentially. And the corner man for Los Gringos Locos was Madonna's boyfriend, which I am exclusively referring to him as. Sorry, Luis Piccoli. You chose the name Madonna's boyfriend.
It's great. I love it. It's like, I mean,
how famous do you have to be that somebody could just be referred to as your boyfriend? And then they're like, yeah, that's a fine name.
Whatever. Rich Paul. He's just Adele's boyfriend in my mind.
I love that his name is Rich, too, because I'm like, you are rich.
Yeah, like, he's so rich.
When I hear his name, I just think someone's like describing a Paul. They're like, Rich Paul. I'm like, yeah, there's Rich Paul, there's Poor Paul, there's Beetle Paul. Like, everyone's having a good time.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no. Who would it be? It's like...
Rihanna?
Like, someone... I assume it's someone who... Yeah, but, like, ASAP Rocky is, like, like, it has to be someone...
Someone dating a normie?
Not a normie, but who's, like Taylor Swift's ex-boyfriend. Like, yes, he's an actor and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not naming him. We're not naming him out here on the streets. We're not giving him the credit. Matter of fact, edit that out. Anyways, like, you know, sure, actor. He's probably been in some parts that some people have seen. But, like, come on. That's Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
That's true. What about the second set of falls that was good for you? What was interesting?
This was, like, crazy here. So... you know, Eddie hits a top rope Frankensteiner to Santos for the first pin. Now they have to pin Octagon to get the win. And, like, they're both in the ring at the same time, Bar and Eddie, and they're just laying the boots to Octagon. They're, like, really messing him up. And then they shoot him into the ropes. Bar, like, takes him and launches him up into the air.
Yeah.
Right into Eddie, who eats a Frankensteiner for a pin. And then Bar turns around.
Bar isn't looking at all because he assumes that Eddie, like, powerbombed him and just was going to win.
Yeah, or something, whatever the plan was. And then, you know, he hits Bar. He puts him in an octopus on the ground, which is pretty cool. And Bar, like, immediately taps to tie it up.
That makes sense. Preservation, right? Like, if you think you're gonna have to do another fall, like, and you know Eddie can't save you, just save yourself, restart. You guys had really been controlling up to that point. It logically makes sense. The thing in that fall that I love the most is Eddie walking on his knees over to Octagon in a weird, like, he looks like he's begging off, but he's like kind of shuffling along on his knees and then just pokes Octagon in the eye. Like, Eddie's such a lovable asshole, especially in this era. Like, he's so good. Fall three, lots of really good stuff in here. Like, this is probably, they saved a lot of it for the end.
Bar hits a twisting tombstone to eliminate Octagon, who does a stretcher job. Like, we'd never see Octagon again.
The move had been banned by AAA. They said this on commentary. And that's why the referee is over attending to something. I think he's looking at Madonna's boyfriend, as we all should be. No. And The tombstone, it gets hit by Bart, and they had banned it. So Octagon sells it by, like, just dying.
Yeah. Oh, he's dead. I mean, he's gone. They hit a
Triple A's president into a German to, like, save him. Like, that's, I don't remember the name of Triple A's president at the time, but he was, like, the one out there, like, checking on him and stuff.
Oh, it's El Presidente.
Yeah, of course.
Bar hits a clothesline, and as he connects with the clothesline, Eddie hits a German for a near fall.
Yeah.
They hit the superplex frog splash combo for a near fall. Santos, you know, super big. Actually, he's just going super Seth, because this is what Rollins does pretty much every time he defends his title.
He also is just being his dad. Like, El Santo was, like, the shit in Mexico.
Yeah, he was in 43 movies, man.
Which is more big movies deal. Than most wrestlers combined.
There were millions of people at his funeral. So Octagon again does a stretcher job. Bar accidentally hits Eddie out of the ring. Santos hits a top rope dive to Eddie. While the ref is distracted with that happenings on the outside, I think it's Blue Demon comes into the ring. Blue Panther comes into the ring, hits a normal pile driver to Bar, who gets pinned a little later by Santos, and then just is laying there for the whole time.
Yeah, Bar doesn't move. He's just passed out. Guerrero versus Santo left. Guerrero in full control, full Nelson bridging suplex for a two. Santos just hits the roll up for the win. And so El Hijo Santo, they win, which means that Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr have to shave their glorious mullets, and they cut each other's hair in the ring.
Devastating.
And they're just, like, arguing, like, just do it, man, just do it, cut my hair. It's like 2 14-year-olds piercing each other's ears. That's what this is like.
You know what we need is, right, we need who's, like, a team they could do this against. Like, get Axiom up. Team him with Ray, and then have Ray and Axiom go up against, like, Dominic and JD McDonough.
And share Dominic and JD McDonough?
This exact style. Like, the elimination has to be both guys. Yeah.
Oh, I actually really like that. All right. Our next match, speaking of Rey Mysterio, is one of my favorite matches of all time. It stands up as it's just a clinic. It's a clinic.
I think Eddie per capita, probably the best, like, most exciting wrestling match there is.
Eddie versus Ray, mask versus title for the Cruiserweight Championship, Halloween Havoc 1997. Ray in the sick all purple, like, morph suit looking gear. Sweet. This has just some of the best technical work you're ever going to see. It also is, like, one of my favorite examples of vicious Eddie. This is Eddie being a complete asshole, and he's so good at being bigger than, like, whenever he is the bigger man, like, we all know Eddie can fight from underneath. We're going to see it in our next match. But, my God, when he's the power guy, when he's the one on top, he is so good at controlling the pace of a match.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he is clearly the general of this. Obviously, you know, he's Eddie Guerrero. He's probably the general against anybody he wrestles, usually.
Yeah.
But against Ray here, Ray trusts him completely with his body. And you could tell from this match that he does, because the amount of, like, difficult backbreaker angles that occurred during this match is, like, a little scary.
The amount of things where I'm like, that has a very short like there's a window of being able to complete that. Yeah. And it's just not good.
And we will get to it. Eddie starts talking shit immediately, which I love. Love
he's
that.
So good at it.
Pulls Ray off the apron, who takes the flattest bump I've ever seen in my life. The flattest back bump you'll ever see.
Eddie goes with him into the steel steps. He doesn't throw him into him. He just, like, run, like, carries him the whole way, and then just, like, shoves him into the steel steps. That makes sense. The Tilt-A-Whirl backbreaker is nasty, but also throwing Ray around is like throwing on a pillow. Like, I put on some 5-star matches against my pillow back in the day. You know?
Did you?
Absolutely. Tilt-A-Whirl, you're hitting it with, like, an elbow drop off the desk. It's a good time.
Oh, the amount of Swanton. I broke my bed with a Swanton once.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Literally. I used to have, like, a wood bed that had, like, the bottom. They had, like, the drawers that pulled out.
Oh.
And so like the like part that held your mattress up was like pretty hollow. Like it wasn't a very thick piece of wood. It was probably like this thick. And me being like 8 years old, whatever I was, seven, six, I was on the top part of the bed rest, which had like, it was pretty thick because it had like little shelves in them.
Yeah.
And so I just freaking would do moves onto pillows all day. I never did backflip stuff. I did one moonsault one time, and it's like the worst moonsault you'll ever see. It's like one of those moonsaults that you'll see from a guy who doesn't, like Terry Funk. It's a Terry Funk moonsault. He doesn't get much air on it. He kind of just falls and does a tumble.
Yeah. That is a very good depiction of what I could assume that's what you did. Yeah, man, beds are meant to be broken by wrestling moves. That's just the way shit goes. Like kids,
especially when you're a child.
Exactly. Kids' beds get fucked up by wrestling moves. Eddie pulling at the mask of Ray all matches great. And you can see that he does enough that like he's not going to pull the mask off, but he like fucks up the eye holes a little bit.
It's like, oh, I can see his forehead.
This is where we're like, so later on, there's like some knuckle lock pinfall attempts by Eddie. Ray gets the top rope, springboard backflip DDT. Disgusting.
Beautiful.
A dropkick sends Eddie through the ropes, Ray to the apron. Eddie sneaks in, sends him to the outside. And then Eddie locks in this camel clutch and is pulling at Ray's mask more. And all I'm seeing is I'm like, Ray has the same makeup as like Robert Pattinson Batman. Like just like really intense smoky eyes.
Something in the way. Catwoman. Selina.
Vengeance. Like
Selina.
Imagine Ray trying to do Batman. I'm vengeance. Like he wouldn't have the gravitas.
Dominic.
Ray as Batman, like obviously Ray is not Batman. Ray is pick another superhero. Ray's like Nightcrawler. That's my pitch.
Oh no. Ray's fun and he's good and he's fast and he's twisty. Ray is Flash might be a good one.
If you could cast one wrestler as Batman right now, who would it be?
Oh.
Who would be Batman?
John Moxley. No. Eddie Kingston.
Oh my God.
Batman.
Eddie Kingston just beating the shit out of people in a bodega looking for a bacon, egg, and cheese after. Unbelievable. I love that.
It's like he's not even doing the voice. He's just like, I'm Gotham's fucking reckoning.
Just like, is Batman wearing Tim's? What the fuck is going on?
You heard? We get a gory special from Eddie.
That Batman's wearing three title belts. Gory special by Eddie, like you said. Ray gets out with an arm drag.
Ray gets a Frankensteiner.
Ray gets tossed into a tree of woe. Eddie with a baseball slide attempt, and Ray just sits up. Eddie goes nuts first into the ring post.
Love a good nuts first into the post. Into the post. Frankensteiner by Ray with a pin for a near fall. Ray does a freaking tope con Hilo into a Hurricane Rana on the outside. Back in the ring, Eddie hits a stack powerbomb. And when I say stack, I mean accordioned, motherfucker.
I wrote, this is one of the greatest stack powerbombs I've ever seen.
It is. It's so good.
Again, it's another thing that's like, it's easy because it's Ray. But I'm like, well, he still did it. Like, it doesn't matter if it's easy. He still did it. And it's unbelievable.
People ain't doing like, that to Ricochet.
Like Embiid scoring 70 against the Spurs. They're like, it's the Spurs. I'm like, he still scored 70.
Yeah. It still happened, damn it.
And then Karl Anthony Towns being like, I want 70, and just butchering a game for the T-Wolves.
And then
I love
KD
that.
KD hitting a crazy fall-away, like, super-duper double-clutch three. And then just going
really good.
Just going, 70 points.
Yeah, basketball's really good.
Yeah, 70?
Yeah. So Ray with a springboard, Eddie turns into a backbreaker. This is the spot that had like very little room for error, and they nailed it.
Yeah.
Not that a fucking like Kobe Don Hio into a fucking hurricane run on the outside doesn't have like has like a large room for error.
But we see that pretty often enough.
We've seen that from Ray like 1,000 times.
Liz Morgan's probably done that.
Eddie going up top misses from the top. Ray is on the top turnbuckle. Eddie goes up. Tries to hit like a top rope razor's edge, essentially. Ray turns into a Frankensteiner, gets the pin for the three, retains the mask, and wins the Cruiserweight title. This is my recommendation for the week, because it's a fantastic match.
It's the best match of the week, but it's not my recommendation.
The next match is your recommendation. We're going to take a break. When we get back, Eddie's winning the world title. Back from the break, it is Eddie versus Brock Lesnar, No Way Out 2004, for the WWE title. Cow Palace, baby.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little arena.
I have a series in mind for either a YouTube video or something about legendary wrestling arenas. If you want me to make that, you should DM me on Instagram at CrossBodyOfWork or tweet at us, and then I will do it. I just want to know that somebody will watch
it. Yeah, someone motivate him, because he's been talking about this for like two years.
Yeah, I've been sitting on this since last New Year's, since like 2023 New Year has been like I came up with the idea. I've been sitting on it, so... Somebody motivate me out there. Because the Cow Palace
probably
is
probably
going to
be
wild...
a video series, though, if we're being legit. Because
it probably will
picture
be.
Book, that's a lot of work.
Me, book? Although I have read more this year. I've already read 3 books this year.
Oh, I just finished my first book. My goal is 1 book a month. I'm a slow reader. But...
My goal is also 1 book a month, but I'm just crushing them right now. I'm picking some good books.
Yeah, what'd you read last night? What is it, Good Night Moon?
Go the fuck to sleep. That's what I read. And it worked. All right. This is obviously Eddie's crowning achievement. Like, this is his biggest moment. This is the biggest stage. This match rules.
It's so good. I feel like it gets better every time I watch it, and I don't know how to explain why.
There is a very simple story here. Brock Lesnar is an unstoppable force. He is one of the craziest athletes of all time. Also, let's put this out there, because the day that we are recording this is when all the news dropped about Vince McMahon, who is a monster. Brock Lesnar also implicated in these things, inadvertently, whatever. Terrible shit. Absolutely terrible shit. Everyone should be held accountable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I didn't read the whole thing, but based off of screenshots that I saw floating around Twitter, just abhorrent, like
heinous.
I cannot even begin to explain how the fuck a mid 70-year-old man could be saying shit like this.
We never need to see Vince McMahon again, and he needs to repent and like just awful, just unbelievable.
Well, he's gone
shit.
He's not any, he doesn't have any part in WWE anymore. He's gone.
But like prison, like
yes, now it's society's turn to get rid of him.
Brock also implicated in that, and like that's unfortunate, and definitely like should be held accountable, because this shit is still abhorrent. And like I read through the entirety of the lawsuit, and I am just beside myself. Anywho, it's the last we'll talk on that for now. Also, I feel so bad for this person, like this poor victim who was not supposed to be named. It was named by Brad Shepherd at fucking Ringside News. Unbelievable.
Fucking
the worst
dickhead,
people,
man.
The worst
fucking
people.
Oh,
anyways, this is a good match. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is a good match. And Brock is such a freak athlete. That's like the first thing I notice here.
It's Brock is a freak athlete, because like that's just what he was. He was so young and so unbelievably talented here. And then Eddie is just savvy. This whole match, Eddie's doing little things to give him the smallest bit of advantage, because he knows he can't hang with Brock the way Brock is. Like, he's not going to be able to go blow for blow with Brock. So he's taking every little advantage he can. And you see the story progress through the match that way. And it's really nice to see.
Yeah. Eddie's hitting Brock's leg off the post. He's targeting the leg as much as he can. He's trying to chop that shit down. Brock explodes with a lariat, which, my God.
That lariat scared
me. The thud on that. JBL could never.
That lariat scared me. He's running Eddie into corners, shoulders to the stomach. He goes for the running Heine in the corner, though, and Eddie ducks. And Brock takes a fall that he's taken many times in terms of spots. And every time, it's a bad time.
The worst of it is still the Extreme Rules match he had against Cena, where he doesn't do it in the corner. He just did it right in the middle.
What was he going for?
That. He tried to go for a freaking running knee, and then Cena was like nowhere to be found, but he still jumped anyways, and he just yeeted himself out of the ring.
That's the thing, is he looks like he's doing a high jump, that one. This one, at least he's like, he kind of like hits the top and tumbles. That one, he clears so much that he just like almost landed in
his stance. His toe hit the top rope. Like.
Yeah, that's it. Eddie does manage to get in some, specifically submission moves. He's really wearing down Brock with submissions. He gets an STF after escaping a Brock lock. Brock just like powers out of the first STF.
Love a Brock lock.
He's not tired yet. Eddie is fucking laser focused on the leg. He wants a figure four.
Yeah.
He does lock in a figure four into a cloverleaf, into an STF.
This is also where beautiful.
It was really good. This is where I realized that it's also, this match is refereed by Brian Hebner, who part of Reffing It Up. Great podcast. Go listen.
Shout out to Brian Hebner. He's part of the best moment of my life. Second best moment of my life.
This week, they have Chavo Guerrero on.
Oh!
Yeah. So isn't that great? Eddie, Chavo, outstanding.
Contributor to Iron Claw. Fantastic movie.
Yes. Yes. Iron Claw. Sad movie, even though you know it's coming. It's like the Titanic. It's the movie's ending is spoiled, but oh, it's still sad.
I wonder what this is about.
Yeah. Huh. So like I said, Eddie locks in all those submission moves. Lesnar hits a German suplex, I think on instinct alone. Like he's
honestly,
just,
I wouldn't be shocked if he did.
He's just kind of like around. He's just like, I feels the body. He's like, oh, I can German this. And then hits a huge spine buster.
Yes. Yeah, and like effortlessly, he just like rips him.
I want more Brock spinebusters.
Like I could, well, not anymore. But
no, not like, anymore. I don't want to see Brock at all. But like, that's a move that should have been in his repertoire more. It's the best way to put it.
I just think that there was a man over there. I'm sorry. Let me say that so that I can provide a hint as to who it was. There was a man over there. Who did this spine buster?
You do a really good Rock impersonating Triple H impression.
That, and like, he that's doesn't like other people to use his move.
Brock does a gut wrench and like not a suplex. He just holds it.
Yeah, he's just like,
he's like carrying Eddie drunk out of a bar. He's like, all right, come here.
I mean, it's like with Ricochet. Remember when he just grabbed him by the pants? He's basically farmer carrying him.
It's a lot. We do get a Three Amigos after Eddie gets free with some headbutts. Frog splash attempt, nobody's home. Eddie is selling after the frog splash. He just lays on his face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, he's telling how tired he is. And then I looked at the clock and it'd been about 20 minutes. I was like, Eddie's probably just fucking exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, he's been getting thrown around for freaking how long? And it takes a lot to put in those submission moves, man.
It's true. Lesnar gets him up, hits the F5, but what happens?
Eddie ends up taking out the ref.
He clocks Brian Hebner. Eddie's legs take out Brian Hebner. So Lesnar gets the visual pin. Lesnar should win. But he no pin. So he goes out and he gets the title. He's going to like hit Eddie with the title, I guess. And somebody else is here.
Yeah.
Who's here?
Oh, what is it that Goldberg says when he's like...
Who's next?
No, when he's like... He's like, oh. I don't know. He's always saying, he says something. It's just something. It's not the you're next, because the you're next is just the you're next.
I think he just like growls. I think he's just like guttural screams.
Oh, wow. I suppose that's cold.
I genuinely thought you were about to do a reference from Santa's sleigh, and I was about to kick you off of the podcast.
I could, anyway. I don't remember what he says in Santa's sleigh. He doesn't say much.
Go back and listen to our Santa's sleigh review.
It's great. Love it's that movie. Great.
It's not a good movie. Goldberg's here. He spears Lesnar. Eddie crawls over. Brian does the count. Two count. Eddie Beautiful. Has the belt in his hand. He's stalking Lesnar. Brock ducks. Lesnar has Eddie up. F5, but Eddie turns it into a DDT onto the belt.
It was nowhere near the belt.
It's nowhere near the belt. It's not even close.
What?
Yeah.
What? Eddie cheated!
This is the best Taz call. It's the best Taz in match call. Bar none.
Without a doubt. It is it's his best call. I think his best performance might have honestly happened a couple weeks ago in that match between Hook and Samoa Joe. The way he's
his dad.
So he's just there like super emotional and like real. And he's just like, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I mean,
anyways, Eddie goes up, frog splash. He's hooked the leg and he cheated. 1, 2, 3. Eddie Guerrero is the fucking undisputed champion, man.
The celebration. I remember watching this live and just not believing that Eddie was going to win. And then when he finally did, it was just like cathartic. It was truly beautiful thing. Magical. And it's been 20 years. It'll be 20 years in a month to this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's and it's
bananas.
I will never forget the SmackDown because I didn't watch the pay-per-view live. My family was not purchasing pay-per-views for me. So, you know, it's going to the SmackDown after when with the celebration, it kicks off the show, I believe. And he is just out there living his best freaking life. And I could not have been happier. Like, I was to the freaking moon. And another shout out to my brother, who actually, on the day of recording of this, it's my brother's birthday. He's 32. Hey! Shout out to Frankie.
Good job, Frankie.
But yeah, no, he's 6 years older than I am. So his friends at school had spoiled this for him, but he knew how big of an Eddie Guerrero fan I was. So he did not tell me. He just let me wait until SmackDown and told and like let me experience that live.
That's really nice.
It's a good brother right there.
It's a good brother. It's a good brothering right there. That's a good brother. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. That's a good brother right there. Tell you what. Yeah, exactly. Too sweet.
Too sweet.
We're going to take our last break. It's pretty early in the podcast, but we're going to take our last break. When we get back, it's just Q&A for the rest of the podcast.
Let's go.
Back from the break, and we were given many questions from our wonderful listeners and from other fellow podcasters. I have all the questions. Javier has not seen a single one of these. So that's pretty exciting.
I should have.
We're gonna get your brand new thing. So we're gonna go back and forth, bounce between. Shout out to Crispy Chris, aka Chris Crisp, one of our favorite YouTube commenters, one of our favorite. Also, shout out King Chad. I've noticed King Chad has not been as active because King Chad, I went to his profile. He's taking a Twitter break. Smart man. If I could get off Twitter, I would, but I can't because my brain.
But I know he's still listening. We love you, Chad.
That's right. Shout out King Chad and shout out to Crispy Crisp. Let's start with this question from him. What are your favorite pro wrestling theme songs of all time? Name as many as you want.
Word Life, John Cena's first
basic
theme is
Thugonomics.
Not even close.
Okay, let's go back and forth. So you go Word Life. Honestly, Shawn Michaels theme. It's awesome.
It's great.
It's awesome. It's really, I was like, that's Shawn Michaels as a person in that, like, what a perfect marriage of performer to theme.
Yeah. My Time, Triple H's first theme.
Very good.
Loved it.
Original Kane theme.
Oh, with the actual orc. Yeah. What is it? What's the thing from the church?
Organ. Yeah,
the organ.
Or the Finger 11. I actually like the Finger 11 version for Kane.
Bow, down, down, down.
This is pretty good.
With the...
All right. Exactly.
Oh, I mean, Cody Rhodes' current song, like the Kingdom,
really
is so good. I constantly sing it. My girlfriend gets it stuck in her head sometimes. Like, it's such a great song.
Going modern, Burn It Down. Seth Rollins, like the Burn It Down theme, specifically the first
like
one.
Like the now, or the one that he had back when he had
the
his
one that
old
he had
theme.
Yeah, the first Burn It Down one. I still think that one's my favorite iteration.
It's the most seamless. I feel like the Burn It Down is just kind of shoehorned in there because people like it.
Yeah, but it doesn't belong there anymore.
Nah, it doesn't really work for me. Hook. Why am I forgetting the Action Bronson song?
I don't remember what it's called, but. Speaking of real songs, RVD's theme in ECW, Walk by Pantera. Unbelievable. Just set the tone.
All right, then I'll do Enter Sandman by Metallica.
I mean, pretty fucking good. Pretty good name. Pretty good gimmick.
Lastly, I'll actually finish with one that I really like, but the wrestler didn't like as much. Randy Orton's first theme.
Burning My Light.
Burning My Light. Yeah, love that song.
It was really good. Not going to say cult personality, even though it, like, cult personality is really great. I'm trying to think of like an obscure one. Oh, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Shelton Benjamin. Ain't no stopping me. No. God, I love Shelton. Me.
No, stop.
You can't. Second part of this question. If you were a wrestler, what would you want your theme song to be?
Ooh, the podcast theme.
The pod. I do like the pod theme. As the
promotion.
Yeah, use the pod theme. I was trying to think about this. Like, I was like, what would I use as my theme? Like,
ooh.
Would I pick like a hip hop song? Would I pick like a rock song? Like, where would I go with it? And it's tough.
My thing was always like, I want something like the Austin. Not, it doesn't have to necessarily be a noise. It could be words, but something like the Austin, like glass shatter, the Cody dun dun, the like stuff, yeah, the CM Punk, like in cult of personality, the like stuff like that.
This is a weird choice, but I'm just going through my playlist and I'm like, you know what? I like the vibes. Give me Feel Good Inc. by the Gorillaz. I like it.
I like it.
A lot of bass line. Dun, 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 dun. It's a good time.
Yeah. This is so random, but it's the only one that comes to mind right now. It's Long Shot by Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Okay.
It starts with...
Interesting.
Go. And then it goes into the song. And I was like, okay, like I'm in. And it, like, I don't know, it gives me like the grungy, like Darby Allin vibes. And I mean, that's not necessarily what I would go for as a wrestler, but fuck it.
This one's also, I think, a pretty, not a chalk answer, but it's definitely been given before, which is Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
They were going to go Mamma Mia, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll do Mamma Mia.
An ABBA-themed wrestler.
I've been cheated by you.
Or a Meryl Streep-themed wrestler, and they turn heel, and they're Miranda Priestley. I love it.
First off, there is nothing heel about Miranda Priestley.
Did we watch the same Devil Wears Prada?
She was a tweener. I don't care what anyone says. She was a tweener.
Miranda Priestley. All right. I need to give you more fictional characters. You tell me if their face are real. No, Miranda Priestley is a tweener I like. All right. We'll go back to some... Crispy Chris gave us lots of good questions. We will go back to him a little bit later. SCW, the wrestling channel. We were just on one of their YouTube videos. We were predicting who we think is going to win the Royal Rumble alongside 29 other wrestling creators. So go and watch that. Link to it will be in the
cool
show notes here. Yeah, it's a very cool concept by SCW. They do a lot of really good stuff. They're constantly doing good stuff. Love those Brits doing good stuff. They ask, what's the best Royal Rumble match ever and why?
Yeah.
All right.
Come on.
What do you think?
The correct answer is my answer. It's the 2005 Royal Rumble match. It's the best Rumble match. I think it's the best because the finish of it is chaotic and it's obviously an accident, but it's also so funny and great because of that. It ends with two young guys, two guys who had never main evented a WrestleMania before, who I don't even know if they've really even challenged for a world title at that stage of their careers yet. Either one of them, maybe Cena got a Brock match or an Angle world title match when he was like in his early Thuganomics phase, but
he did. I think he did against Kurt.
Yeah, but that doesn't really matter.
No, it's not the same.
It's not the same. So
you
like
know, you know what else that Rumble has?
Young talent. Daniel Pewter getting his shit kicked.
No, it has fucking Paul London getting eviscerated by Gene Snitsky.
It has so many different great phases. Like it in my opinion, it like elevates the mid card a little bit, like even the lower mid card of it. Like everyone gets a little moment to themselves. It's so good.
It has everyone eliminating Muhammad Hassan at the same time.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun spots in that match, and that is why to me it's the best Royal Rumble match of all time, and it is also my favorite Royal Rumble.
2001 is my favorite fucking Royal Rumble. Kane. Just there has been no cooler thing than Kane just running show just in the middle of that
freaking
Rumble.
Kane.
It's so good. And like the end of the Rumble has some good names. Obviously, like Taker's back there. Rikishi's back there. Big Show's back there. Like some guys, like they really filled the
Austin mid-part. Wins.
Austin wins, which is dope. But I think my favorite thing is the way that the mid card and lower card were in 2001 meant that the Rumble could start with just like lower mid card guys like the first big name that comes in aside from Kane is The Rock at 13, and everyone's cool with it. Everyone's cool with like Perry Saturn, Farouk.
It's the hardcore
Bull
rumble.
Buchanan. It is the hardcore rumble. Drew Carey's there. The other, I think, acceptable answers are the 1992 men's rumble, Ric Flair with a tear in my eye. If you had to pick a women's rumble, what do you think is the best women's rumble?
I like the last year's.
I think it's last year. 2013
was good. 2018's pretty solid too. The first one that Oscar won.
The first and the most recent. I think it's 2018 and 2023 are the two best women's rumbles.
I saw the 2020 one because WWE spliced together a bunch of like random rumbles together into videos that are like 5-6 hours long. And I just randomly was watching like through it, and I got to the 2020 one. Solid match.
I love that. Yeah, I'd say for the women's runs, it's 2018 and 2023. I think those are fair.
Yeah.
All right. Back to our boy Chris Crisp. Who's your favorite current football player?
Justin Jefferson. I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Hey, Jettis.
I mean, he's the best wide receiver in football. He's an electric player. Just love Jetta. He's great. I hope he comes back next year and freaking catches 3,000 yards, much less two.
Taking my personal fandom out of it, because like honestly, I was moments away from buying a Jordan Love jersey a couple weekends ago.
He went full Brett Favre.
He's cooking. Speaking of Brett Favre, I think my favorite current player, other than people on my own team of the Green Bay Packers, is Josh Allen. That boy just swings the ball. He does not care.
He is all just, he is the definition
gas,
of
no breaks.
Brain, just go.
All gas, no brakes. He's a golden retriever with a rocket for an arm. He does not care. Well, how about like favorite player, but like somebody maybe a little less popular? Like if there's like a guy, not obscure, but like, they don't have to be like that obscure or anything, but like guy, you're like, I love what he does. You know, I'm just a big fan of the way he plays. Because like Hufanga
you go
for
first
the
on this one.
Hufanga for the Niners, like their safety, I'm like, oh my god, like, yeah, he's hurt right now, but like whenever he's out there, he just flies around.
If we're talking about dogs, like I love Fred Warner, but
Fred Warner's
like,
a dog.
He's kind of like he's the best linebacker in football, so it's not like an obscure player. I like a good like
Vita Vea.
Ooh,
space
love a good
eater
line
for the
play.
Yeah, I love line play.
Now, I like a good like heady receiver, like a guy who works the slots real well. Rashee Rice was a guy that snuck like specifically the second half. I really like Rashee Rice. He just comes
Tank
through the middle, gets a slant, goes. Tank Dell is really good. Nico Collins, I really like too.
The Texans are sick. I think if you told me right now like the Packers don't exist and I had to pick a new team to cheer for, I'd probably pick the Texans.
Yeah. if I had to pick a team aside from the Vikings, I'd pick like, that's actually a tough one now I think about it.
Tough one.
A lot of fun team. I'd be like a Niners fan just because I really like the way they play, which
Sturdy
is annoying.
Sturdy Brock Purdy, baby. Sturdy Brock Purdy. All right. This is a fun one. This is a very fun one. Also from Chris Crisp. How long have you guys known each other and are you good friends? No, this is all a ploy. This is all.
Yeah, we freaking hate each other. I hate this man.
We're like Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall on Sex and the City. We fucking hate each other.
No, we're like Gillian Anderson and David, I forget his last name, from
Duchovny.
X-Files.
Duchovny. That's not true because the sexual tension here is not as strong as it was on X-Files. They were
That is what you say to the people.
So Javier and I, we met because I was the editor for Full Press Wrestling and Javier was one of the writers. And I had come up with a concept for a wrestling podcast. And I was like, I really want to do this. And I didn't want to do it alone. And Javier had consistently good shit. There were some really good writers we had there. Shout out to Caden, who's been doing some stuff for Fightful and has been in a couple other places. Caden consistently doing cool shit. Great Twitter follow, by the way. I think it's still Caden_FTW. Fucking outstanding. Yeah. But I was like, Javier, you were doing sports broadcasting. Like you were a sports journalism guy. And I was like,
yeah.
Your writing's good. I'm like, hey, I got this idea for a podcast. You want to hop on? You said, sure. That was 4 years ago.
I was a senior in college. I had free time. So,
yeah.
You know, I was just like, yeah, sure. Why not?
And now it's just built into our weeks of like, this is what we do. Like, we'll decide, we'll hang out, we'll like text each other, we'll decide what wrestlers we want to cover, we'll find the matches. I'll usually watch the matches on like Tuesday and Wednesday. Usually those are my watching days. However,
I try to watch them like Thursday morning. Sometimes I watch them Wednesday night.
Yeah, and then we just record on Thursdays and go to it. And then like, are we friends? Absolutely. Javier's like one of my closest friends now. Like,
I was at his wedding.
There was a time you were at my bachelor party. Like, you came to Canada twice.
In a month.
Twice in like 2 months, yeah. And
something like that.
There's the thing of like, there was a time during the pandemic where, aside from my now wife, the person I talked to the most in a week was Javier.
Yeah.
Like,
same.
And like, that's my boy. We just hang out now. This is great.
It's the bizzo. So, yeah. Sometimes we'll spend like an hour before recording just like chatting.
Yeah. I will attempt to like, I'll realize like I shouldn't put anything else in my schedule on Thursday nights because like we don't do anything else. We just fucking hop on here and talk. And then we're like, we have to record a podcast.
Yeah. Like, we're going to go to Mania in a couple weeks and it's just going to be like, oh, hey, what's up, man?
The content's going to be unbelievable. This actually ties into a question that my wife submitted, which is specifically. When is Javier coming back to Canada to enjoy cream soda?
Oh, okay. So the reason behind the cream soda thing is we don't really get cream soda here in America. At least we don't in Boston or in the general Massachusetts region, like area. So I didn't know what cream soda was. So we get to Canada. Evan's like trying to find Canadian delicacies for me.
So cream many of the things that are different for Canadians are chocolate, and Javier does not like chocolate.
Yeah, which is a problem.
So that was tougher. So we found some stuff. We found some like chips or whatever, and then cream soda was a big thing.
Yeah, and I like an entire, 2 liters? Smashed that at your bachelor party.
So we're at the Airbnb for the bachelor party, and I'm sitting in the living room with all my other friends. And in the kitchen, I just hear, oh my God. And Javier walks out with this glass of cream soda, and he's like, this is amazing. And he crushes a 2 liter in like a day?
I don't even know if it was a full 24 hours, honestly.
A full 24 hours.
I do not think it was, because the next day we were playing like lawn games and I was just like, it was done.
We went out in the morning and bought more because we were like, fuck, we need more cream soda.
Yeah. As far as when am I going back? I don't know, Evan.
We've been floating the idea of money in the bank in July. We've been floating that idea.
It's been floated. Flights are looking tough. So if it is happening, it's probably going to be a drive for me, which is like 8 hours. And God damn.
It is.
No one told Canada to be so far.
Also so wide. Canada's got so much stuff going on. It's got so much. Like, when we were booking our travel for WrestleMania, I was like, yeah, like I'll fly from Toronto into Philly. And Javier's like, you could fly into Hartford, Boston, Newark, LaGuardia, doesn't matter, like it's on the way. And like, how are all these places on the way? And I looked it up. They're all on the way in like a 5 hour
drive.
Going
from Boston just like this way, straight through New York to Philly. So it's like, oh, these are all just within this 5 hour stretch.
Unbelievable. All right. From our boy RJ from Reffing It Up. He asks,
Shout out
to RJ. Some great stuff. Ringside Rant was great. Reffing It Up is consistently good with Brian and Jimmy. Just really good stuff.
Great stuff.
Thoughts on the Netflix deal for WWE?
Ooh, I personally love it.
It's a great deal.
But I mean, I love it for them. Like, this, what is it? 5 million over five years?
Five billion, sorry, over five years.
That's insane. Do they get the library? I never actually. I know they get PLEs, but do they get the library?
My understanding is that outside of the U.S., the WWE Network will cease to exist and it will all be on Netflix. Whereas in the US, it'll still be on Peacock.
Okay. Which sucks. Peacock's like interface is not great. It's
brutal.
It's good if you're like just trying to like watch a movie or a show or whatever. Like if you're like me, I'm just over here like spot watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine on occasion. And I think that's, you know, it's solid for that. But if you're trying to like search specific events from WWE's past, it sucks.
It's kind of brutal to try to find. And also, if if you were trying to find a specific match, like there's no indicators, I'm like, oh, this sucks.
It's just like WWE season. Network. What do you mean season? What is this?
Season 14 of SummerSlam. I'm like, what year is it?
Yeah, I have to go based on the picture. It's like, it's
I just roll random. I'll like scroll. I'm like, I think it's like season 16. I'm like, that says 99. I'm like, okay, so it's actually season 14 then. Great.
Yeah. It sucks. I like it. My only concern is the live programming aspect of it, because I was there for the Love is Blind live reunion.
And I was, against my will. It was very bad. I have already had, I think, three different people reach out to me being like, oh shit, I'm going to like watch Raw again if it's on Netflix. Like it was access. So many young people have cut the cable cord that like going to the ring to try to find Raw was like a challenge. But now they're like, hey, shit, Raw's on Netflix. I'll watch that. So I have a lot of friends who are like willing to get back into wrestling now because of this deal. So that I think is already
two of my groups of friends reached out to me and was like, oh my God, like Netflix bought WWE. Like that's crazy. Or Raw.
I'm sure our listeners also experienced this, but isn't it weird to be the wrestling person in your friend group? Because like sometimes like cool stuff, like all my friends text me like, hey, CM Punk came back. That's cool. And then there's today. I had three different people being like, is Vince McMahon like the devil?
I had like, to talk about Vince McMahon when I was just like, I only read the screenshot. Sorry, guys. I'm not reading all that.
Yeah, I read into my lunch and oh, my God. Another question from RJ. What would be your last meal?
Ooh.
Your last meal.
Ooh. Does it have to be from one different, like one look? Could it be like,
you can
get one thing from here, one thing from there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So we're starting with the buffalo wings that I got these like 2 weeks ago. Buffalo wings from Biff's Pub. That's over here in Newton, Massachusetts. The best freak. They literally are award-winning wings. I just found them like a month ago, and I'd been waiting and waiting for them to get it. And the day of the Cleveland Browns-Texans game, Joe Flacco is over here throwing interception city, pick six city. And I'm just waiting for my wings to hurry up.
I'm going to cut you off briefly. I have a friend. You've met him. And every time that he watches a new movie, it's his new favorite movie. Because he watches so few movies, and he does genuinely pick really good ones, but he watches like a movie and he's like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. And then like he'll watch another one like the next month, and be like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. And that's how I feel
like
about
me
your
when
choice.
I was like, Transformers 2 is my new favorite movie.
This is what I feel about your choice of wings you had 2 weeks ago.
No,
like, oh, those again.
They're legitimately like fantastic. Like Evan, I'm talking like they win an award every year for this shit.
I believe it. All right, so you got
they
those
were
wings.
Packed. Those wings are starting. I'm getting a pizza because I love pizza so much. Pizza is going to come from Santarpio's, my favorite pizza place in the world. It's in East Boston.
Yeah.
Although, actually, no, screw that. When I went to New York back in November, we had this place in Brooklyn called Grimaldi's. That's apparently pretty famous over there.
I've heard of Grimaldi's.
Freaking so good. It's the best pizza I've ever had.
I've either heard of Grimaldi's or I've heard Italian last names before. those are the only two options.
So we're throwing that in there. And then I have a dessert, which is just like, honestly, it doesn't matter where it's from. Just a tre leche, which is like a Latino Caribbean.
That's good stuff.
Like cake with like milk and stuff. It's good.
I'm picking a couple slices of pepperoni pizza from Aurora's Pizza in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Best pizza in the world. Love it to
death. Is that the gravy spot?
That's not the gravy spot. Fuck the gravy spot. That's George's in Ottawa. And again, during my bachelor party, there was a couple of friends who wanted to go get gravy on their pizzas. Please roast them in the comments. This is a terrible
please.
Time.
Please. It was terrible. It smelled like death.
It smelled like death. So Aurora's Pizza. I'm probably having prime rib and potatoes made by my mom because it's excellent food. Going to have a peanut butter cup blizzard, one of my favorite treats in the world, and a piece of lemon cake, very similar to my wedding cake. It's really good. The cake of my wedding.
You guys weren't there. Let me describe to you. The lemon cupcakes that Evan had gave. I probably ate like six of them that night.
Like we would have invited you guys if we had room, but
they were so good.
They were unbelievable. We had a couple of the cupcakes. My wife and I also had our own personal cake. We got to have a slice of it on our 1 year anniversary, which was unreal. It was still so good. So,
you know, I know it's your wedding, but I'm honestly personally offended that you had a piece or like a little cake to the side for yourself and I didn't get a slice.
Well, you get married and then you can have your own little personal cake and then I'll slam six cupcakes at your wedding. It's called balance.
It will probably be from the same place.
All right, this next question, we're back to Chris Crisp, and this one is, I think, specifically to you because you have a little bit more of the knowledge base. Okay. Is there anybody in New Japan that look like a rookie that you see a lot of potential in becoming an all-time great in the future?
Oh.
Yeah, and he specified New Japan, so.
Shota Umino is...
That was the name that came to mind, too.
He's really, really good. I don't know how to pronounce the other guy who's like probably going to be of the new like Three Musketeers, who's going to be the more prominent, like not more prominent, like in the short term because he's 30. I don't know, Tsuji, I think is his name. And then Ren Narita's, he's good. My thing with Ren is like he's kind of like a mix of like Shibata and Zack Sabre Jr. And he doesn't have like a whole lot of personality.
Still,
which he's going to be a hell of a wrestler.
Both those guys have had long careers of being the fucking bee's knees at wrestling. So
yeah, he'll be a hell of a wrestler, but I don't think he has that like star potential. I think Shota is
Shota's be got the guy. Star potential.
He's also got the his dad's red shoes. So I think once he gets like the over the top, I think he'll end up eventually getting some like, charisma, like showing through. The guy's 26. He hasn't even gone on excursion. Like,
send him,
let him come to AEW for a year and then just see what happens.
So this one, we're going to do back-to-back questions from our partners. So this one is from your girlfriend. Explain John Cena's Instagram. It's a mystery of history, baby. That's what John Cena's Instagram is. John Cena is either a 12-year-old shit poster or the funniest man in the world.
I don't remember when it was. It was probably during the Chiefs game when they faced... Who did they face round one?
Dolphins.
Yeah, it was probably during that game. And then Cena posted something about Taylor, I think, after the game or before the game. And it like popped up on Kelly's for like her the for you page, whatever the
search
Instagram
page,
version of that. And she like has just been obsessed with looking at his profile every day because she is like, I don't understand why he just posts random things. Like she just went through the entire back catalog. She loves the Stone Cold Steve Austin mixed
the most
matches
recent
that
one
he does.
Being Stone Cold Sashimi.
Yes, she showed me that one. And she's been obsessed with it. She's like, can you just please explain it to me? And I'm like, he kind of just explains it himself. He just posts pictures with no caption and he lets you interpret it. He's just having a good time. It's John Cena. He doesn't need to explain himself.
He has a photo of Dave Chappelle as Prince. Like he just does whatever he wants. Like I honestly love the idea of someone being online and being present because like so many celebrities need to be online. They curate their presence, and John Cena's like, this is my spam folder. Like he does not care.
This is my. I'm going to share my meme folder with you guys. If I could drop the Dropbox, I would, but I would just use Instagram instead.
And I love when it's like slightly related to things, but also he's like on current memes. Like he posted the Kurt Angle like 1,000-yard stare meme when it was like hot.
Yeah, like here's the thing. It's like you would think, oh, he needs to promote himself. Like on Twitter, all he does is post quotes pretty much. Like he just posts inspirational quotes. Like it's John Cena. He knows he's super freaking famous. So he doesn't care what he doesn't need the publicity of like promoting his stuff. Like he seems to be doing very well for himself.
Posted a photo of Wheezy from Toy Story.
I don't even know why, but I love it.
Because he lost his squeaker. So that one was from your girlfriend. My wife asks, what is wrestling? Why is wrestling? Who is wrestling? And how is wrestling? Let's start with the last one. Wrestling's really good. That's how wrestling is. How is wrestling?
Wrestling's in a great spot. WWE has never made more money. wrestling as a whole, everywhere in worldwide, TNA's hot has right never now, baby. Been
TNA
so like on fire. Like, it's good everywhere.
It's true. TNA's awesome. AEW's putting out good product. New Japan's doing good stuff. Stardom still kicking, doing good stuff. It's all good.
Mexico's going great.
Yeah.
Indies are on fire.
What is wrestling?
anything you want it to be.
It's theater. It's like if theater kids also were gym kids, like the that circle in the Venn diagram.
Yes.
Those are wrestlers.
But also love action movies.
Yes, but also love like terrible reality TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all within that is just like are willing to hurt themselves.
It's like Big Papa Vanderpump. Like that's wrestling is like just the same drama but with Scott Steiner.
Need that.
Why is wrestling?
Cuz people like to be entertained, and you know, for as dumb as it is so freaking entertaining.
Yeah,
clearly. People listen to our show. So it's
the
like
the feats of strength, the feats of athleticism, the heartbreaking storylines, the getting behind your favorites, the Stone Cold stunning your boss, like all of that is part of it.
Yeah.
And then like weird shit. There's an undead wizard. He's undefeated in April every year.
This is really good thing about that. Funny thing about the undead wizard. A buddy of mine texted me last night that a friend of his was like called him like very shocked and just like shaking. He goes because she is like 27 something years old, and she had just found out that WWE was fake.
What the fuck?
I was like, she just thought that a zombie was just out there. Like that, she just thought the zombie thing was real. Like,
she thought Snitsky just punted a baby.
Vince McMahon wrestled God.
Somebody call my mama. Yeah, I love that for them. Don't tell them about Santa Claus or trickle down economics. Don't tell them about all these other make believe things.
Okay? Yeah, and I was just like, you know what? Not touching that one. Not going anywhere near it. Not going to be that guy.
There's one last question up here, and I'm going to get you no context. Just say one name. Who is wrestling?
Johnny.
Okay. I'm going to say Stone Cold.
That's two words.
No, like one. You got one name. So Stone Cold.
Oh, Steve. I thought you said what a word. So I just went Johnny.
One name. Just one name.
Johnny Wrestling.
That's actually pretty good. All right, let's go to the guys from 123 Wrestle. This one involves some fantasy booking for the boys.
Oh, my favorite thing.
Fantasy booked main events for Elimination Chamber and Mania.
Okay.
What would you like to see at Elimination Chamber and Mania? So I think we also have to go with we have to kind of factor in the Rumble here. It's like, who wins the Rumbles? What's the Elimination Chamber main event? And what are the WrestleMania mains?
I'm holding the line. I'm just going to go right there with my WrestleMania prediction. I'm holding the line. Night one's going to be Rollins versus Punk. Night two is going to be Roman versus Cody. I think that's what it should be. And I hope that they don't break from that. In my opinion, the only wrench that could be thrown in there is this Rollins knee injury. But as long as he's cleared and able to go for that match, I think it absolutely should main event night one. And we have been telling the story for damn near 2 years now with Cody. Let him finish the damn story, Hunter. Just let him beat Roman. It's the biggest match you could do.
I think that's fair. I was thinking about like doing something different. I'm going to hold the line too. So I'm going to say, let's go realistic. Let's say Bayley wins the Rumble. So my Liv Morgan long shot doesn't work out. We'll say Bayley wins the Rumble. We'll say that Punk wins the Rumble. We do Punk Rollins for night one. We do Roman Cody for night two. Elimination Chamber main events. It's not the main, but I would have Cody win to secure a title shot. I think the main event for Elimination Chamber is going to be Rhea Ripley defending the women's title inside Elimination Chamber because it is in Australia. So I think it should be Rhea.
That would have been mine.
The end of Elimination Chamber should be Rhea Ripley holding the title high.
Yes.
That should be it.
Dominic Mysterio like grabbing her leg.
I have a secondary question for you that's kind of based off of this.
Okay.
If Rollins can't go,
ooh,
would you have Priest cash in before WrestleMania?
Yes, Rollins? But I wouldn't have him have the title at WrestleMania.
So walk me through. Where does it go?
I don't know when, how, or why, but he ends up losing it to Gunther. Give me Gunther versus Punk.
See, my thought was Priest gets it. He loses it to Punk. We do Punk Cody at WrestleMania, and we end up with Rock. We end up with Rock Reigns. Well, it might be what happens because
I don't like it for the like. It's just the story is Roman. I understand it's the title, whatever. That is the title. It's that title. Yeah, it's not the world heavyweight. No, it's the WWE Championship. It's the undisputed one.
That's a good question, though. I like doing fantasy booking.
Love it. And thank you.
As we do more cross body corrections, go do that. We also have some new series that are going to come. Let's talk about those for a second. We're going to do reference guests. We're going to do like the wrestling reference guests and try to stump each other with wrestlers' accomplishments and achievements. And it's going to be hard, I'm sure.
It's going to be so difficult.
But also, take a card, make a card remains. So that's a good time as well. We'll throw some throwback episodes on the YouTube as well, so you can just watch those. It's a good time. And the drafts. We're continuing to draft stuff. Also, if you are a wrestling, like if you make wrestling content and you want to be on one of these shows, just DM us.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to have you. I've also been sitting on a trivia concept for like a couple months now. So happy to do that too. Come join us. It'll be a good time. All right. Crispy Chris is going to finish off our questions. We got a couple more from him. What's your favorite music video of all time?
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. See, this is one that I wish you had told me in advance. I would have prepared for it. Man, I don't know why the first thing that comes to mind is Still Tippin'. It's not still tipping. But it's the first thing that came to mind.
This man has honestly, all the music at his fingertips, and he says Still Tipping, which I love. Still Tipping.
It's probably music video, mind you. This is music video, not song.
Yeah,
it's probably Yo, the Chris Brown song, because I just remember that being on 106 in Park constantly, and I was I love that song so much that I was just listening to it all the time. If it's not that, I really like the Usher.
It's been 20 years since we covered that on my other podcast, Pop Capsule Podcast.
Wow.
Where we learned that Mr. X, who made the video, said that when I hear the song, I think of lasers. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And then he clarifies and said that he wanted to make an updated version of Michael Jackson's Rock With You music video. And I was like, that makes more sense, because that also was like a lower budget, had the lasers. My answer is Weapon of Choice by Fatboy Slim. Christopher Walken dancing around the like office building thing. It's a hotel lobby, I think. It's a fucking delight. So that is my choice. I think that's the best music video of all time. I love it.
Wow.
Did you forget about that until right now?
Wow.
Bobby. Wow. Fat boy Slim. In my driveway. Okay.
I guess you want me to dance.
So,
all right, I'll sashay over here, sashay over there.
Two mice. We'll end with a couple actual wrestling questions. Also from Chris Crisp. What is your favorite variation of a suplex, and who do you think executes it the best that you've seen? Favorite variation of suplex.
Ooh.
I'm going to go, I'll start. I don't know if it is my favorite, but I do love the T-Bone suplex, and of course it's because of Shelton Benjamin. My Taz, fucking guy.
Hook.
Send Hook.
Okay, so I guess it's I mean, technically it's a backdrop driver, but it's just the spiking back suplex.
Oh, yeah.
The Misawa. Like, he did it a lot. You know, just, it's a back suplex, but instead of landing on their back, they land on their freaking neck.
On their neck. The other one that I'm thinking of that I love, is, again, it's because of Onohiro wrestlers. It's the overhead belly to belly, and specifically Perk Angle. That man threw people. He's just, just effortless, just over the top.
I love the Manami Toyota straitjacket suplex.
Yes, German, straitjacket that is a German. Good shout, because it's like the specific variation of the German.
And she like bridged like every single time.
Which, like, that's got to hurt the neck of the person taking it, because they always land right on like the edge of the neck.
You kind of pray that you land on like the ball kind of a little beneath there with the shoulder blades, but you never do.
Yeah. And our last Q&A question, also from Chris Griffiths. He sent even more questions. Maybe like if we want to do some more Q&As down the line, we'll have those in the bank. If you have questions you want us to answer on the podcast, crossbodyofworkpod@gmail.com, or the DMs are always open on Instagram and Twitter @crossbodyofwork. The last one here. There have been a lot of classic matches at WrestleMania with Bret Hart versus Steve Austin at 13 and Shawn Michaels versus Kurt at 21. What are your favorite WrestleMania matches of all time?
Oh, I mean,
personal favorites. It doesn't have to be best, but personal favorites.
You took one of my favorites with the Kurt-Shawn one.
Kurt-Shawn match is unbelievable.
Man, some of my favorites. I mean, I will always have a soft spot for John Cena versus JBL, just for the simple fact that that's Cena's crowning moment.
That was his, like, honestly, and for the same reason, I know it's not a good match. I do love Cena versus Big Show from the WrestleMania before. Yeah. Like, I actually good really match. Like that match. Yeah.
I agree.
TLC, like Dudley's and Edge and Christian and Hardy's. That match is favorite unbelievable.
WrestleMania matches. I love the Punk Undertaker match from 2013.
Yes, a match that I think just gets like not, it doesn't get forgotten about, but it definitely gets like, it's lower on everyone's list, but it shouldn't be. It's a great match.
Yeah, I mean, it's not their best match, but it's not either one of their individual best matches. Probably, I mean, it's Punk's best match at WrestleMania, but you know, it's a hell of a match. I really, there's a lot of like, God, it's tough. There's a lot of great matches. I love the IC ladder match from 31. I love Austin against.
I love all three Austin Rocks.
The second Austin Rock one, the heel turn
17
one.
Yeah 17.
Hogan Rock, I thought, is a hell of a match.
You ready for, I think, a not an obscure pick, but like definitely like it's a short match. Matt Hardy, Rey Mysterio, WrestleMania 19, the opener.
Oh yeah,
the Rey's first one. WrestleMania, unreal good match. Yeah. I forget that Matt Hardy wins. I like forget that Matt Hardy wins that.
I mean, this legitimately, Brock Goldberg from 33.
It's such a good short match. It's so good. It's the best sub 5 minute match maybe of all time. Lesnar Angle from 19, even though Lesnar almost breaks his fucking neck, is still a great match. I mean, both Shawn Taker matches, but that's like a given. Like that, those matches slap. My favorite one that I've gone back and found is Savage Steamboat from 3. Like, I remember hearing that it was unbelievable, and then you finally watch it and you're like, oh, this actually, like, it holds up unbelievably well.
There's a lot of them, man. There's a lot of that. Like, I can't even think, honestly, up until the finish, I was like all in on Cody Roman. I thought that was a hell of a match, and then the finish happened and I was like, well.
Also, WrestleMania 19, Michaels Jericho.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Dang, he kicks him in the nuts. It's a great match.
Ooh, Christian Jericho from the year before that, I think.
Yeah.
Like that match.
How another match I had to go back and find. Michaels Tatanka from WrestleMania 9, the like only good match on WrestleMania 9.
Charlotte Rhea from this past year.
One of my favorites. Drew and Sheamus from this past year.
And then I'll close off with Sasha Bianca from 35.
I also still think that Sasha Charlotte Becky is one of my favorite triple threat matches of all time from when they first got the women's title match. Also,
the Frog
Splash
spot?
Shout out to, I think it's Jazz Trish Victoria, or Jazz Trish Lita, or Jazz Trish Victoria. I'm trying to remember that.
I think it's
that,
Jazz that. Trish Victoria.
I think you're right, and Jazz wins.
Yeah, good match. It was like 7 minutes, 8 minutes, but good match.
And then I have a question for you. If you were to get some of our listeners to go back and listen to specific episodes of this podcast.
Harlem Heat.
Harlem Heat is on
Harlem
that
Heat.
List.
Midian. There's been so many off the rails ones. Virgil / Vincent.
Virgil Vincent is unbelievable. The brand draft is one of my favorite ones too, where we drafted everyone we had covered up till that point and then made cards with them. That is a very fun episode. And it's pretty much a precursor to all of our YouTube content.
Barry Windham was
sexy
good one.
Barry Windham is really good. Too Cold Scorpio is
Too
really
cold,
good.
Yeah.
Same with one of our earliest episodes. Art Anderson is one of the first times where I think it's the first time I remember us like not being able to continue because we were laughing too hard, which was Art Anderson like cutting promos in the hood.
Yeah.
And it's just like your dad talking about like rent controlled housing. And it's like, what the fuck is going on?
It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. It's like a collection.
Coco Beware. Coco Beware.
Yeah.
Good.
Manami Toyota, just for us to freak the fuck out about how good she is.
That's true. That's true. There's
Aja Kong.
It's a lot. In terms of people like discovering people from this podcast, like pretty much everyone we cover from Japan, I'm like, oh, they're amazing. And then I
the Ishii episode for you.
The Ishii episode was outstanding. Stan Hansen was good to go back and watch the first time. Yes.
Pretty much any of the Haas Month content.
Any Haas Month content. In terms of like favorite thing from this podcast, like anytime someone sends us a DM saying they listen to the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to
find a comment on YouTube.
Comments on YouTube. All of that is good stuff. I'm going to find there was a DM we got recently. I want to make sure that I get the name right. It was from Novalis is their name on Instagram. And they reached out and they were like, hey man, just found the pod, like big fans. You guys have covered some of my favorite wrestlers. Like anything like that is my favorite thing. Our family, friends, and people like buying merch. Like that shit's wild to us.
Just had a friend. Shout out to my friend Sean.
Shout out Sean.
Name him, or I've done it before on the pod. So shout out to him. He got the shirt.
You got the shirt. We're hoping with the rebrand, there's going to be some new merch coming soon with the new logos and everything. Yes. So that's exciting stuff to look forward to as well. We're not stopping anytime soon.
Mm-mm.
We're not going anywhere. We're ramping up
too
on the road to
WrestleMania.
Too much
wrestling out there.
There's so much wrestling to cover. If you think of people you think we should cover, go to our social media at Crossbody of Work on Twitter, on Instagram, crossbodyofworkpod@gmail.com, or in the comments here on YouTube. Also, go subscribe to our YouTube. We're on the road to 200. We're like 170 something now. So come join us. We got lots of cool content here. You can find all the episodes of the podcast as well as extra bonus stuff, drafts, take a card, make a card, fantasy booking. It's all going to be there.
It's Javier, all going to be there.
Where can people find you on social media?
You know, I said for 200, I was going to make the sign. And I would quickly scribble down a sign right now because there's paper right here, but I don't have a pen. So in lieu of doing that, you can find me on the Twitter machine at JMello Sports.
If you're ever wondering who the more prepared one on this podcast is, it's me. It's me. But you
It's 100% Evan. I am all over the place.
Javier's the talent. He has said so multiple times.
Yeah. You cannot be trusted with things.
You can find me on Twitter at It's Evan Gomes, ItsEvanGomes. Follow the podcast, most importantly, at Crossbody of Work. FullPressWrestling.com for the links to all the matches. This week, there won't be a post as you can just go back and find the Eddie Guerrero post because it's got all the same matches. But in the description of the YouTube, we will put the links to all three of the Eddie matches that we covered, so you can find them all in there. Shout out to everyone who asked questions and participated in the Q&A. Really great to hear from everybody. It was really great to do this. We look forward to it. FullPressShop.com, cop the merch, support the boys. Like I said, hopefully new merch coming soon to a theater near you. Next week, we're back to our normal stuff. Do you remember who we have next week, Javier?
I do. It's Fandango.
I really want to just talk about Fandango as a trend. They fucking made the UK charts. I really badly want to talk about that. So Fandango, Dirty Dango, Johnny Curtis, we're talking about him. I know he's still active, but we still got lots of we're going to talk about WrestleMania versus Jericho. That's cool. We're going to talk about him and Summer Rae. We're going to talk about the Fashion Police, one of my favorite gimmicks of the last like 10 years.
One of my
years.
Favorite title matches.
God, I'm so excited for that title match. Okay, so we're back to our normal structure next week. And it's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, we're keeping it nice, short, and sweet. This week is all about gratitude. I'm grateful. We got to 200 episodes. We've got so much support coming from all different channels, all different walks of life. It's great. I cannot thank you guys enough for listening. Evan and I have mentioned on multiple occasions that we would just do this if no one listened, just because it's so damn fun. So,
we have a good time.
But it's nice that you guys do. Like, we appreciate it. We like being acknowledged as well. But yeah, man, it's gratitude. Thank you guys for showing up. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for interacting. It means a lot. I genuinely probably thought we were going to get like 3 questions for this.
We got a bunch.
But we got a whole bunch. And I appreciate it. I can't thank you guys enough. Evan, I can't thank you enough for doing this with me.
We Bring have me a on wonderful board. Time. We have,
a
wonderful
great time, man. It's 4 years.
I have an eye for talent. I'm the Paul Heyman. And I plucked Brock Lesnar out. I was like, yeah. Javier's the next big thing in podcasting. And we're going to keep doing this. And if you have wrestlers you want us to try to interview, if you have ideas for what we should do, hit us up on social media, like I've said a couple of times. We're not going to stop. So we're back next week. We've got Fandango in the queue. We will talk to you then.
Later.